Verse 16. So I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. The acts of the flesh are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred and discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions and envy, drunkenness, orgies and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking, and envying each other.
Right, before we begin, it would be really good for all of us to pray. God's at work. He's at work by his Holy Spirit and his word. And we need to be dependent on him. So let's pray. Let's pray before we begin. Heavenly Father, I pray that your Holy Spirit would work powerfully today. I pray that you would guide my words. I pray that you'd open our eyes to see Jesus more clearly. I pray that you'd open our ears to listen to your word. I pray that you'd soften our hearts to want to be changed. And I pray all these things in your precious name. Amen. Amen. Now, for the past few months, we've been studying Paul's letter to the Galatians, and we find ourselves halfway through chapter 5 towards the end of the letter. Now, it's an all-age service, and for those who've missed out so far, because I know we've got lots of kids in, here's the Gilmore Guide with wonderful placards, if I get the right ones. There you go. Have I got the right ones? Got the right ones. Here we go. Don't break them. Here's is Gilmore's Guide to what's happened so far in Galatians. Now, Trekkers, we've been doing Acts together, haven't we? Do you remember that? And it's wonderful. Isn't God good? Guess what we did last week? Paul visiting the Galatians. Isn't that cool? And there's this guy called Paul. Here he is. And he's travelling all over the place telling people the good news about Jesus. And he came to a place, as we heard, Trekkers, last week, called Galatia. And he told the people about Jesus and how through Jesus their sins could be forgiven and they could be part of God's family. And here they are. Now, some of them were excited by this. Some of them weren't. Some of them were excited by this and they went, wow! And they put their faith in Jesus. And their sins were forgiven and they became part of God's family. We all say hooray. Hooray! But, you can tell there's always going to be a but. After Paul had gone, some other people came and said, oh, as Tim was saying, oh, it's great news that Jesus has died and rose again, but to be properly part of God's family, to be properly saved, you need to obey a whole load of... Now, when Paul heard about this, he was very worried. And he wrote the Galatians a letter, which we're reading now. And he said, no, you're not saved by what you do. You're completely saved by what Jesus did. You are free from sin and free from having to follow those rules. Do you remember that? Saved completely by what Jesus did and not by what we do. So some of the Galatians must have thought, wow, what, we're free? Free from any rules? Brilliant. That means what, we can do what we like then. Let's go and do what we like then. Let's sin again. And do you remember what Paul said? No. Don't use your freedom to sin. That would be really, really silly. Jesus freed you from being a slave to sin, and God calls you to love him and love other people. Do you remember that last week? So that's where we are. So, okay, you say, I've got this now. I understand all of Galatians, at least halfway up to chapter 5. I'm completely saved by what, where are we? Jesus did, and not by what I do. But God has saved me for a life of loving and not sinning. Okay, here goes then. Are we ready? A life of loving and not sinning. Jesus, thank you so much for what you've done for me. I'm very, very thankful. I now want to live a life of loving and not sinning. You've done your job. You've done your job paying for all my sins. And now it's over to me. I'm going to follow you in my own strength. That's a very bad idea. Okay, off I go. Loving, not sinning. Loving, not sinning. I'm taking these notes with me. Loving, not sinning. Loving, not sinning. Loving, not sinning. Ah! What have we got here? It's a lovely-looking cake, isn't it? You might not think that, but it's a lovely-looking cake. It looks so juicy and tasty and yummy. And what does it say on it? Can anybody read it, please? Sin cake. Come on in. Dive right in. Oh, no, I mustn't do that. I must do what God wants me to do. And he wants me to be loving. Love him and love others and not sinning. Oh, but it does look so tasty. Oh. Just a little look won't hurt. Oh, let's have a little taste. Oh, some ice gems, have they not? And some cream that's gone a bit squishy. Mm. Oh, that's nice. Mm. And what does it say here? What does it say? Betty is so annoying, I bet she really gets up your nose. Well, actually, yes, she does. She does, but no. God saved me loving, not sinning. He saved me for a life of loving, not sinning. No, I mustn't do that. Oh, but actually, what else does it say? She cut you up in the communion queue the other Sunday. Yes, that's right. Oh, I really hate her for that. No, I do. What else? And she ate all the biscuits after church. Oh, no. No, that's terrible. I hate her. Oh, no. What's this? Hatred? Oh, that doesn't look very good, does it? Oh, I feel dead guilty now. I'm such a rubbish Christian. But I'm really thankful for what Jesus has done for me. So I'm going to try again. In my own strength. Loving, not sinning. Loving, not sinning. Loving, not sinning. Loving, not sinning. Be thankful. Ah, ooh, that's interesting. What does that say? Isn't it unfair that Billy got a PS5 from his parents and you've only got a rubbish PS4? You deserve better. Yes. Yes, you're right. Why should he get one and not me? Oh, that's terrible. That's so unfair. That's so... Oh, no. Oh, no. Oh, no. I'm completely... What's this? Jealousy. Oh, no. I wanted to follow God in my own strength. I wanted to love him, but I don't seem to be able to do it. Oh, no. What shall I do? Oh, dear. Well, don't you find that? Don't you find that you know you've been saved by Jesus and you want to live? You want to live a life that pleases God, but you don't have the power to do it. You want to live a life that pleases God, but you don't have the power to do it. You keep on messing up. Let's have a look at verses 19 to 21. Let's just read it together. There might be some words that you don't know in there. Some of them not nice at all. You might see a few on me. It says the acts of the flesh. They're obvious. Sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred. Got that. Jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. Paul says the acts of the flesh are obvious. You're telling me they're obvious? I'm covered in them. Isn't that my natural want, my natural desires to do this kind of stuff? Don't you feel that too? If you're honest with yourself, don't you feel that too? In our own strength, that's what we naturally do, isn't it? Dive into that sin cake. But, this is a good but. Look at verse 16. Look at verse 16 together. It says... No, I'm sorry, this is a poor prop. I apologise. Live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. Live by the Holy Spirit, and you won't gratify the desires of the flesh. Brilliant. When you become a Christian, God puts his Spirit in you. And what's that? That's the Spirit of Jesus. The Spirit of Christ. The same power that rose Jesus from the grave now works in you today, giving you the strength to do what pleases God. And so for those people, and this is often me, who say, thank you, Jesus, for saving me, and I think I'm going to do it in my own strength now. Paul says, where is he?
Which one?
Paul says, no. After beginning by the Spirit, are you now trying to finish without him? No, you need him. If we're Christians, we're in a battle right now between our fallen sinful nature that makes us want to gobble up that entire cake and living by the Spirit who changes us and makes us want to live for God. That's the Christian life. It's a battle. But here's the cool thing, and please do listen to this for those people who are a bit discouraged. It's not an even battle. Jesus, through the power of his Spirit, is infinitesimally stronger. He wins. God's in the business of changing us if we are led by his Spirit, beating those old sinful desires and growing godly new ones. So let's live by the Spirit. Have a little look at verses 16 and 25. It says, live by the Spirit. Let's look at verse 18. It says, let's be led by the Spirit. And 25, let's keep in step with the Spirit, and God will begin to change us. All right, shall we have a little, let's have a little picture. Where's my friend? Oh, here we go. Thank you, Richard. Now, I like to say before here, Richard is not the Holy Spirit, but for this illustration, this is what we're going to do. There you go. Hopefully it sticks on. So, living by the Spirit is being led by him and keeping in step with him. So I'm going to keep in step with him. I'm holding on to God, and I'm imitating him. I'm imitating him, and by his power, he'll lead me away from sinful desires. He'll lead me away from sinful desires. Let's turn around now. I'll try to copy him. And I'll try to keep a step with you, mate.
and help me live for God's glory. And you say, well, that's a lovely illustration. Give him a round of applause. And you say, well, that's all very well and good. What on earth does that mean in practice? Well, it means this, and please listen to this. It means being completely open to God and His Holy Spirit working in us, and being willing to change. I'll say that again. Keeping in step with the Spirit means being completely open to God working us and being willing to change. That's why I love the song we sang, Holy Spirit, living breath of God, breathe new life into my willing self. If I'm a Christian, Jesus lives in me. Jesus lives in me. So the life I live through faith in Jesus. So just as I trusted Jesus to save me by his work on the cross, I continue to trust him to change me by his Spirit. Just as I've been saved by grace through Jesus, I continue to live trusting in his grace to change me now. And that means being completely dependent on him, crying out in prayer, please change me by your Spirit, and then being completely willing to be changed. And do you know what? Here's the great news. If we're open and dependent on the Spirit of Jesus to work in our lives, I'll start following him again. Yeah. All right. Go on. Off you go. If I'm trying to keep in step with the Spirit, look what happens. We start bearing. We start bearing good fruits. Go back there and get you off. Is that right? So if I keep in step with the Spirit, in his power and being willing to change, we start bearing good fruit, or should I say, God fruit. The fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, do you know them? Patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. We'll start developing a family likeness, the family that we've been adopted into. God is love. God is joy. God is peace. God is patient. He is kind. He is good. He is faithful. He is gentle. He is self-controlled. And if we're open to him working by his Spirit, we'll become more like him. And do you know what? Isn't that deeply attractive? Isn't that deeply attractive when you see someone who's clearly developing the fruits of the Spirit, open to God working? So when we start seeing the fruit of the Spirit in our lives, what should be our response? Should we do this? Should we go, thank you, God, for growing all this wonderful fruit in my life, this God fruit? Here, take it back. Look at all this love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. You can accept it now. I must be acceptable to you, God, now. I must be all right. What do you think Paul will say to that? No, 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 no. Jesus has done it all. And it's by his Spirit's power that you are changed. You're being changed. Give God the glory. But what if, and I think I might speak for a lot of us here, like me, you're a bit saddened that the fruit of the Spirit aren't as evident in your life as you'd like. Do you feel that? Well, take heart. The fact that you're saddened means you know the battle is on. Keep praying to God. Keep actively being open to the work of the Spirit of Jesus in your life, and he will change you. And here, for those people who aren't yet trusting in Jesus, please can I say this? Look at what he offers you. He offers to pay for your mess ups. cover you with his perfect life, welcome you into his family, and not only that, he promises to keep on working in you by his Spirit to change you as you trust in him. Isn't that attractive? So whoever you are, whether you feel like a rubbish Christian or you're yet to trust in him, God is calling you today to belong to Christ Jesus and to live by his Spirit for his glory. And how are you going to respond? Shall we end by praying? Heavenly Father, thank you that we don't have to live for you in our own strength. Thank you for sending your Holy Spirit to give us the power to live for you. Help us to be open to his work in our lives and be willing to change for your glory, we pray in your name. Amen. Amen. Give Richard a round of applause. Thank you. Thank you, Richard. Thank you for doing that. Very kind. It's our practice to, at the end of a talk, reflect and ask any questions or perhaps any encouragements. So if there's been any encouragements in your life, do say. It is, just as we started with Jesus, we continue with Jesus. Just as we started in grace, we continue in his grace. Just as we started by the Holy Spirit opening our eyes, we continue by the Holy Spirit strengthening us. Yeah, I would love to sing that last song, the Holy Spirit, Living Breath of God, again, along with... So which one are you meaning? So the reason why there was a big panic is I'd flipped across to Ephesians and then thinking, I really don't know that verse that well. Okay, 17. Oh, in conflict, yeah. So what does verse 17 mean? And verse 17 says, the flesh, that means your natural fallen human nature, desires what is contrary, that means opposite, to the Spirit. So you're in conflict, there's the battle there. And so we can say, I'll just do what I want. I'll go with my natural desires. But we're not called to do that. We're called to live by the Spirit, and the Spirit's inclination is to bear fruit for God. They're in conflict. There's a battle going on. And there's a battle going on right now in all of our hearts. But God is stronger. God is stronger.